Nintendo has updated their end-user license agreement in order to fight piracy more head-on. Plus, the gaming media site has gone indie again, just like it used to be. Tonight is May 11th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Happy Earthbound Day! For those of you who celebrate. How are y'all doing? Welcome to a Mother's Day edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, thank you so much for being here. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, but this is a podcast, and so you can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and talk about things throughout the week that maybe you want us to talk about here on the show, or something that you have strong feelings about. It seemed like it was quite a slow week in gaming news, and I know that PAX was this weekend, PAX East up in Boston, and we're actually going to talk about something that was actually announced at PAX East, but it seemed like there wasn't that much to cover this week, so which is good, because I talked for a long time last time, and if you did listen to last week's show, my router crashed. That's actually what happened during the show, which meant that I couldn't use the DNS server. So I rebooted the router right after going off the air, and everything's been great. So, you know, kudos to me for, you know, waiting. That kudos to my router for waiting until the 1 hour a week that I can't necessarily stop what I'm doing just to power cycle you for a couple minutes. TechClaw says it's always a router. Yeah, and it's, now, to be fair, it's the first time since I've owned this router this has happened. So it's a very good Nighthawk gaming router, which has served me well, and it will continue to serve me well, I am sure. Just because something happens once doesn't mean it's necessarily terrible. But anyway, I do want to wish a happy Mother's Day to you if you do celebrate, if you are the mom, if you are the fur baby mom, or the bonus mom, or if you are on good terms with your mom, wish her a happy Mother's Day. But if you're not, or you don't have a mom like me, I don't have a mom to go to anymore, I see you, you're valid. And I hope that this day has gone as well as it can for you. I wanted to talk about something that's not gaming related, because like I said, there's not that much gaming things that I wanted to talk about this week. And it's something that I saw today, but it actually, this happened yesterday, and it's making the rounds on social media. It's about a movie. It's about a movie that a lot of gamers are very into. And if you remember Kung Fury, and Kung Fury was this web short made on a green screen in Sweden. It was a Kickstarter, very successful Kickstarter campaign, and they released like a 20-minute version of the movie. Of Kung Fury, and it was just over the top 80s style. Like, I'm gonna say 80s action, but it's actually what somebody who wasn't around in the 80s associate an 80s action movie to be, because the people that actually made it, I don't think were actually around in the 80s. They're younger, and so it's kind of a stylized what they believe the 80s were like. And Fifth Dream backed it. Thank you so much for backing it. I didn't back it, so thank you, Fifth Dream, for helping bring Kung Fury into the world. And Dark Desia says, I must have watched it 15 times. Yeah, and like they made a Blu-ray of it, and you know, people had it, but it's on YouTube. And it was so successful, they're like, we're going to make a whole movie out of it. And, you know, Kung Fury 2 or the Kung Fury the movie, and it's going to be, they actually worked on it and in the late 2010s and actually shot it in 2019. And yesterday... And people are going to say the trailer leaked yesterday. The trailer did not leak yesterday. What leaked was a 10-minute sizzle reel that was intended for distributors of this movie that was shot in 2019. And it's a sizzle reel because it's trying to convince the studios to buy it. And the reason it's not a trailer is because the sizzle reel literally does give up the whole plot. It gives up the entire plot. It gives up all the plot twists. So if you've watched this 10-minute sizzle reel of Kung Fury the movie, you have seen basically the movie. You've seen it from start to finish. So like the surprise cameos that were supposed to be a surprise, totally spoiled. So we knew that there were some A-list actors involved with it, as well as the people who originally created it and were the original actors. It was a very homegrown web thing in the early 2010s, the thing that Fifth Dream backed, the things that we saw originally, although they did get David Hasselhoff to sing a song for it. But in this, they actually have Michael Fassbender and Arnold Schwarzenegger actually doing like real roles in this movie. And then David Hasselhoff shows back up as a role in the movie. And everybody's like, I can't wait to see this. Like, I hope it comes to theater soon. And here's the thing. Don't get your hopes up just yet, because this leak, and I'm not playing it for you because I know that it's probably going to get copyright stricken or whatever. But it has been confirmed to be legit. And it's this over-the-top 80s action movie with over-the-top 80s tropes. You know, there's a dinosaur that's a cop, and that's not a euphemism. There's literally a tricera cop that's a cop. And what had happened is that in 2019, they shot it. So all the film has been shot. In 2020, it was in post-production. Now, what happened in 2020 is that one of the financiers who was from China, who financed, I think, $10 million of the movie, and I think it has like a $34 million budget is what I heard this movie has. They refused to pay the $10 million because they felt that as owners, they did not like the direction that this movie was going. And so they wanted to basically say, okay, you're no longer, talking to the original creators of Kung Fury, we're taking this away from you. This is no longer your movie. It's our movie. We are going to finish it. We'll run things by you, but we are going to finish the movie ourselves. And I believe what it was is what they wanted is they wanted like one of those cheap mockbusters and like something turned around, like your Mega Shark versus Giganta Whale or whatever, the stuff that you'd find that's low budget and, you know, not a lot of care is put into it. And the people who made Kung Fury actually care about their art. Yes, it's over the top. Yes, it's ridiculous, but they also care about the art that goes behind it being ridiculous. And really, the best comedians are very serious about their funny. You will find that a lot. Like, you know, even in music, like Weird Al Yankovic, extremely talented, extremely serious musician, extremely serious performer, takes everything seriously, works on his craft. Then when he goes out on stage, he acts all goofy. And it's because in order to be a clown, you have to be really good at what you do to clown around with it. So that Chinese financier wanted the mockbuster, you know, to make fun of things. It just goes straight to video, straight to, you know, Sci-Fi Channel or whatever, and that's it. And the creators actually were like, no, we want to do this because this is what's going to be best for the art. And so the financier said, no, you're not. We're not paying for that. That's not what we want out of you. We want a quick turnaround. So they actually, the original creators sued that Chinese financier, and that financier is like, fine, we won't do this, but you won't either. We are using our rights as the holders of that paid for all this. We're going to use this, and we're just going to keep it. And they're not letting other people buy in. They don't want to dilute their investment. And they've basically stopped it from happening. They did not want anybody else to come in and finance it. They didn't want any Kickstarter. They didn't want anything like that. So, and there was a lot. There was actually an article in the Hollywood Reporter when this all happened in 2020 So a lot of people forgot about that, and so they saw this sizzle reel and like, oh my God, it's coming to theaters. I can't wait to see it. Hopefully it'll be sometime this year. They actually stopped post-production. The movie is not finished. So Tiger Claw even mentioned this in the chat. What I believe is happening here is somebody leaked it. Now, Variety confirmed this is a legit leak. They talked to the main creator, who is also the lead actor, who is Kung Fury, saying, you know, yes, it's real. We made it for distributors. It's got unfinished visual effects. It actually reveals the entire plot of the movie. Every twist is in there. Every surprise is in this sizzle reel. I'm kind of ashamed it's out because it wasn't meant for the general public. But if you remember, Deadpool was the same way. Where Deadpool, they actually made a test shoot of Deadpool. And the studios torpedoed it and they killed it. And somebody leaked that test footage onto YouTube. Somebody. Ryan Reynolds has not confirmed or denied that he was the person who leaked the footage. I believe that's what's happening here because it's the Cannes Film Festival is about to come up, and that's where the original Kung Fury was debuted. And so the timing is kind of suspicious to get this public sentiment of, hey, we really want to see this movie. You can, if you find this sizzle reel, watch it. I would say actually just watch the beginning. If you don't want to get spoiled on the rest of the plot, watch like the first 2 or 3 minutes. Because then it goes into, it's like 4 or 5 trailers in one, each like showcasing each part of the film. So it's like the trailer, like it recaps the first one, and then there's like the act one, act two, act three. So it's got the whole thing in it. It's just 10 minutes long instead of the hour and a half. But, you know, definitely sound off on it on the internets, because somebody may want to try to buy it. And if but unfortunately, the money has to be good enough for the original financier to give up their stake in it. Yeah. And Rob Roberts says the video is unavailable. It's no longer available due to a copyright claim by Hammerstone Studios. And then he says there's a new leak. I found a different link. I may or may not have downloaded it to my hard drive, but I am not playing it here. I'm not, like, if you're listening on the podcast, you know I'm on Twitch. Sometimes I'll show like a trailer. I'm not showing anything. Everybody's looking at my face and they're like, why don't you show the trailer? I'm like, because I don't want Twitch to shut me down. So that's what's going on with the new Kung Fury movie. They have shot it. It is complete. There's post-production. There's more things that they want to do that they can do in post-production. But that's the situation. So this is, I think, a leak to get public sentiment to try to get it made, because like literally nothing has been done on this movie in 5 years. Yeah. So enjoy that trailer if you can find it. Check your social medias for it. But what I saw was someone in a Spanish-speaking country. I don't know which one, but they're the ones who uploaded it, and that's the one that I saw. That's the movie news. And one of the other things I wanted to mention, because this also happens with games, and there was a comment, and I apologize for picking on Tiger Claw. He said this in the Discord. Because it's a great sentiment of, like, if they release this, it would make a whole bunch in the box office. And I actually don't think it will. And here's why. Kung Fury is a very niche movie. It just so happens that probably every single one of us that are sitting here on my Twitch channel are part of that niche. But this is not a mainstream movie. It is not going to make, I mean, if the budget's $34 million, it's not going to make $34 million in the box office. And I think that's what the financier was seeing, is that this is a niche. We just happen to be in this niche, but it is a very niche film. And I actually remember there was another movie that kind of went through the same trajectory without the studio shutting it down and them, you know, having to redo it, you know, leak it out or anything. But it's a movie called Iron Sky. Iron Sky was all made in Finland. So it was Finnish people with using After Effects and stuff. And they had gotten started on the web. They made a parody called Star Trek in the Perkining. And it was actually a mashup of Star Trek and Babylon 5. And it was very much lots of like innuendo, sexual innuendo and all that stuff. Very college humor type of thing. And it was very, it it was like Dragon Con TV played it all the time. That's where I saw it. I would be in my hotel room and here's this, you know, Finnish Star Trek Babylon 5 crossover. And that went so well, so they're like, well, we want to make an actual movie. And so they made a movie called Iron Sky using the same actors and a lot of the same technologies and a lot of the same humor that they had in Star Trek. And this was also about the German leader. They had built the Germans had built a base on the dark side of the moon after World War II, and then they were coming back to attack us. And Kung Fury is also about that same German leader. So it did not do it. It did fine in the box office. It had a $7.5 million budget and made like $9 million in the box office. So it made its money back. It didn't fail, but it didn't knock the socks off of the box office. They barely made their money back. And, you know, it's a lot of people like, I don't remember that anymore. And then there was a sequel that they made to Iron Sky that was even nuttier than the original. And it didn't do too well. And that studio is now bankrupt. That studio bankrupted in like 2018, 2019. They did release the sequel and it did not do well. And they're gone. And so that's why when people are like, oh, if this new Kung Fury movie with Michael Fassbender and Arnold Schwarzenegger was released in theaters, it would make a lot of money. No, it wouldn't. It would make your money. It would make my money. And it would probably make the money of all, you know, however many people are in this Twitch channel. But my neighbors aren't going to go see it. You know, not many people that I know, like my coworkers, wouldn't go see it. My friend group would, because we're in that niche, but, you know, nobody else I know would really go see it. Just like they didn't really want to go see Iron Sky, because it wasn't their thing. That happens in games as well. People are like, oh, why don't they make, you know, this amazing game idea? This speaks to all of our interests. And it's not, unfortunately, especially when the object is to recoup your investment or make money, which every business exists to make money. In this capitalistic world, just because you would buy it doesn't mean a whole bunch of other people would buy it. And they have to think about what type of game will a lot of people buy, not just this niche. Which is why indie studios are fantastic, because they don't care about that. They can be like, we're making this for this niche and we're going to be the best in this. And, you know, yeah, most people are not going to play our game, but the hundreds or low thousands that do are going to love it. And unfortunately, large, when you're spending $34 million on something, it can't just be for a small audience. So let's move on to games. So this is actually a story I covered last week. And we were talking about like some of the demise of traditional gaming media, or like the large gaming media sites. Polygon was sold to a conglomerate that does a lot of click farming. They laid off all of their union workers that were part of the Vox Media union, kept the ones that weren't, I believe. I think that's how that split out. And so they're going to become a click farm as of last week. But the other one we talked about was Giant Bomb. Now, I am also going to admit, I am not... Giant Bomb is not my niche. So they are not, you know, I never really got into them, and I'm not in their audience. I'm not the type of person they're speaking to. There are so many people that are the type of person they're speaking to, which is why I'm great for them. And Giant Bomb was basically taken offline. Their live streams were postponed. People left the company because Fandom, who now owns them, put out brand guidelines and basically said you have to be PG and all this stuff. And Giant Bomb was not created as a PG outlet. It wasn't. It was supposed to be unfiltered. It was raw. It spoke to the demographic that wanted unfiltered and raw opinions. And to a lot of that demographic, cursing is part of that. And I know this because I have been told multiple times that if I just cursed on this podcast, I might get more listeners, because they feel that if I'm not cursing, I am censoring myself and holding myself back. Well, The Verge reports that at the beginning of the month, things weren't looking good for gaming site Giant Bomb after its content was put on hold amid reports of editorial interference from its parent company, Fandom. Today at PAX East, Giant Bomb announced that it is now an independent, employee-owned entity. The outlet wrote on Blue Sky, quote, Giant Bomb lives. Fandom has sold the site to us. Giant Bomb says that it's not serving an algorithm or executives, and it aims to lean into what always made Giant Bomb special, and that's the people you see and hear on our content and our extremely passionate community, unquote. The site also announced a new subscription model, which it says will, quote, will go directly towards maintaining and growing Giant Bomb and paying the fine folks that you see on our programming week after week, unquote. So they actually put up, quote, game media has changed dramatically since Giant Bomb launched in 2008, and our new model aims to evolve with the times. We want people to be able to see our content, whether they're able to support us monetarily or not, so the large majority of what we put out will be available for free. That's how Fortnite work, right? The kids love Fortnite. Dan Rickard's skin coming soon. That's what it said. They're going to have a new monthly $10 a month or annual $100 per year subscriptions that say, quote, if you sign up today, you'll get ad-free RSS feeds for all of our podcasts and access to premium-only Discord channels like Behind the Scenes, Town Hall Q&As, and more. We're going to launch very simple, and we will grow to adjust from there. This all finally came together literally hours ago, and we couldn't even update the language on the sign-up page yet. The perks are a little different from what's listed there, so if you have any questions, reach out on social, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. For example, our Discord verification process might be slow, so bear with us for now, unquote. So, Giant Bomb started as an independent outlet after the Kane and Lynch 2 review debacle, where they, you know, they gave Jeff Gerstmann gave a bad review to Kane and Lynch, and the studio got very upset at the outlet for printing that bad review. So he left and created basically Giant Bomb was kind of one of the first big independently owned outlets after the initial explosion, if I'm kind of correct. Then they were forced to sell because of some things that were happening. They actually got sold back to GameSpot, which was where Jeff Gerstmann was. And then they got sold to Fandom a couple years later. And now here we are. And they had to sell for whatever reason. Like, there was actually a financial reason. Like, it was going to either be sold or go away. This is the type of stuff where you're going to get the personalities of the people writing shining through. There are a lot of people that don't care about the personalities, and I talked about this last week, where there are people that are just like, I don't care about your personal feelings about something, just I want the news. And I know, once again, we're in a niche. I don't think anybody that's listening to this podcast feels that way, but a lot of people do, and they wouldn't tune in to me and watch this because they don't care what I have to say about things. They just want to hear what is going on, which is why AI click farms are doing really well. Unfortunately, they're doing really well. To get personalities, you're going to have to go to indie sites, and those cost money because, unfortunately, the reason in the 2000s and early 2010s you had a lot of the personality-driven blogs from the big sites because that was the only place you could get them. That's the only place that you could have the personality-driven stuff because you need to put food on your table. Not everybody can make this a, you know, a hobby and, you know, actually do good work in the long terms. You can do good work in the short terms. I do this 1 hour a week. I can absolutely do that and have a day job. But I can't give you more than 1 hour a week of content without some financial stuff going on, and we're not doing that to you. So now with Patreon and being and subscription models now being more acceptable to a larger portion of people who want gaming media, that's where you get like Aftermath and now Giant Bomb, and even, you know, there are other sites. Steven Totillo, we're going to be quoting him in a little bit. He made his own site that's a subscription-based. People with, and I'm going to say Substack, but the company Substack is kind of sus. But other things like that. That model and Ko-fi's, Ko-fi, K-O-F-I, and a lot of that, that's more acceptable nowadays. Whereas 10 years ago, even Rob and I are like, we're never going to have a Patreon. We're never going to make people pay for our stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I haven't talked to him, and we're not doing that right now. But, like, it's a little more acceptable now for a gaming outlet to have a Patreon. I'm not saying Vog's doing that or anything, but please, we do have subscriptions here on Twitch. That's all we ask for. And Tiger Claw says, to be honest, Giant Bomb died when all the original people left. They're doing their own things. Apparently, it didn't die because they had a very, very full panel at PAX East today with the people that are there today. So maybe the Giant Bomb you remembered and you liked, maybe it died, but there are always new people that find something. And to them, the Giant Bomb that is there now, that is Giant Bomb. They weren't around for the stuff that was before. I am sure that there are people that say that my show died when we left All Games in 2012. I am positive there's probably some people that are like, oh, he was great when he was with All Games and Scott Rubin, but once he went on his own, it died. It's dead to me. It is still a very popular site with a very large fan base. So maybe that iteration of it, it turned into a new chapter, but it didn't die. It was about to die with the fandom Brad guidelines, but they saved it from that. And also, I think it was fandom that pushed out a lot of the original people, so maybe you'll see them come back. I don't know. So while I understand the sentiment of like, oh, well, it's not as good as it used to be, well, you can say that about a lot of things. Yeah, and Dark Tetsuya talking about Orange Lounge Radio that comes on after us. A lot of folks jump ship when Orange Lounge Radio decided they weren't just going to be about Dance Dance Revolution and Bomani. They're like, we're going to cover all video games. They're like, see ya. And, you know, people would be like, yo, you got rid of this segment. You know, you're not trying anymore. See ya. Kudos to those that do enjoy that content. Because like I said, their panel room at PAX East, where they announced this on stage, it was full. It was, they turned people away. So they obviously have an audience. And so I'm very happy for them that they have an independent voice again that speaks to them. Because Giant Bomb had a very specific language that it spoke. It didn't speak to me. It sounds like it didn't speak to that many people that were in our chat room. But that's why there are so many different voices. And now that they're an independent voice, I will absolutely say support independent voices and get a subscription if you are able to them and you like their content. There's no shame in that anymore. I hope we see more of this, and I hope more people can have the nest egg to be able to take their talents independent so we don't lose the brain drain. But it's very risky. It's very financially risky to do this, which is why a lot of people join big companies or sell their outlet to a large company is to make things a little more stable. And so this is kind of scary, but I believe that they've got enough people, they've got enough of a fan base that they're going to be able to make this work. Not everybody could make this work. I think Giant Bomb could make this work. And we don't know the details of how much it cost, but I'm sure that the negative PR, it probably was cheaper for fandom just to sell it back to the original creators than deal with the backlash and the negative PR and basically destroy the site. They decided to sell it while they actually still had some value. So honestly, fandom probably made the actual right financial call on this. It probably saves them money in the long run, and this would be the time to do it. So the one gaming thing that I wanted to talk about, and this actually, Stephen Totillo found this, and I had seen some other people, talk about this, but from his game file, which I don't have a subscription to, so I could only read the first part of it, but it basically got I don't have the rest of the article here, but it does cover exactly what we're looking for. And I did get this email as well, is that Nintendo updated their end user license agreement, and GameFile reports that Nintendo warns it may brick Switch systems whose users bypass, modify, decrypt, defeat, or tamper with their games and services. They also warn of potential service discontinuations and acknowledge how it may monitor Switch's users' online chats. So Nintendo has made quite a few edits to its to the two main agreements it has with customers. Most of the changes, just over 100 edits, were made to the Nintendo user Nintendo account user agreement, a digital document which you click on to sign into the online connected Nintendo services. Those services included the Switch's eShop marketplace, the Nintendo Switch Online subscription service, and any digitally purchased games. So essentially, this is basically your digital purchases. So First, the most strongly worded change from Nintendo amid their swath of updates is a major expansion of the company's longstanding warning to the gamers it seems most frustrated with these days, those who know how to hack or modify its consoles and games, run emulators, and, in Nintendo's assessment, foment piracy. Emulators by themselves are not piracy. It's the act of getting the games on the to run on the emulators. That is where the piracy comes in. Whether you agree with that or not, that's the truth. You can hate it. That's the truth. Emulators, completely legal. Getting games to run on those emulators, getting commercial games to run on those emulators, that does run afoul of the law, whether you like it or not. Nintendo's agreement now says, without limitation, you agree that you may not publish, copy, modify, reverse engineer, lease, rent, decompile, disassemble, distribute, offer for sale, or create derivative works of any portion of the Nintendo account services. Bypass, modify, decrypt, defeat, tamper with, or otherwise circumvent any of the functions or protections of the Nintendo account services, including through the use of any hardware or software that would cause the Nintendo account services to operate other than in accordance with its documentation and intended use. Obtain, install, or use any unauthorized copies of Nintendo account services, or exploit the Nintendo account services in any manner other than to use them in accordance with the applicable documentation and intended use. In each case, without Nintendo's written consent or express authorization, or unless otherwise expressly permitted by applicable law. You acknowledge that if you fail to comply with the foregoing restrictions, Nintendo may render the Nintendo account services and or the applicable Nintendo device permanently unusable in whole or in part. So, as Sharon Matt says, this is all within Nintendo's rights and apparently did something like this similarly on the Wii. But I feel like hackers are going to hack and accept the challenge. And so what all Nintendo is saying is, hey, if you do this and we are able to find out that you did this, we've got a kill switch and your hardware will be bricked and we will render it unusable. And there are things they probably could do that would render it so it's not hackable. So what that means is the minute you decide you're going to do something on your Switch that makes it so you could, you hack it, never take it online again. Never connect it to a Wi-Fi network anywhere. Never have the Wi-Fi on. Don't have any Wi-Fi networks in it. Don't ever put it online, and then you're going to be fine. Because the reason I'm not as worried about this, and there's a little bit more apparently about how they're monitoring game chat, which they're going to have to do because of their Nintendo. And if anybody's going to go after, if any adults are going to go after a video game company for things said online, it's going to be Nintendo. It's not going to be Fortnite. It's not going to be any of these others. It's going to be Nintendo. I have hacked a total of like one console in my life. And I never use it for that. So I'm because I know I'm not going to be doing any of that stuff. It doesn't bother me. Where it might bother some people is, what if there's a false positive? And I don't know what to say to that. Fifth Dream says that the hacking cold war is on again. It's never been off. Nintendo does have lawyers that go after people that do this stuff. And, you know, they are modifying their agreement. Now, once again, I'm going to say that end-user license agreements have never actually been tested in courts. So we don't know if this is legal or not. And I don't know if it's ever going to be tested in court. A lot of these things settle out of court, which means we get no precedent set because everything gets settled out of court. But that's what's... So that's going to be the question on this. Dark Decea says, yes, this is not something I was planning to do for the Switch or the Switch 2. I don't have a reason to, personally. Now, I am also in a different situation than a lot of people, where I have been fortunate in life, and I actually do have a lot of the old consoles on me, or I have other things that if I don't have the access to the game, I have access to the game. I have other things. I don't need to use my official Nintendo products to do that. Not everybody's in that situation. A lot of people, they're like, all they have is their Nintendo Switch. They don't have anything else. They don't have the ability or the knowledge to get a Mystere or a Raspberry Pi or something like that. or they don't have a good PC. And, you know, so they don't want to try to run the emulators on their PC and do all that. They just want their Switch to be the thing, because that's all they have. And so I can understand that they're probably kind of upset about this, because they wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted to play Mario Kart Online and be able to, you know, play Mario Kart without, because they're not in a good financial position to buy Mario Kart. And, you know, so they're going to, this is another kind of cold war against them and Nintendo. And unfortunately, right now, Nintendo has the power. Nintendo is playing with that power. But if you are not committed to the Seven Seas lifestyle for your currently published Nintendo titles, there's not much here that you should worry about too much. You should probably know about, if you are going to use their game chat system, which is their video chat, audio chat system, they are going to be monitoring all that and storing all that to make sure. And the reason they say is so they can deal with, you know, reporting incidents and, you know, banning people who do things they shouldn't, but they need to have some permissions. And by using that service, you explicitly give them permission to store your voice, your face, and all that stuff. They're only going to look at it if they need to. That's the other thing where, absolutely, you can, you should be worried about how much cameras are on you, how much things are, you know, saved of you. But it is kind of the cop out of, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. Nobody is going to look at the files they generate about you unless they have a reason. And if you're not giving them a reason to look at your video log, your chat log, if you don't give them a reason, they're not looking. In fact, Major Nelson, when he was at Xbox, when the Xbox Kinect was part of the Xbox One in the beginning, everybody's like, oh, it's always going to be recording me, you know, and he's like, why would we want to watch video of you sitting on your couch playing a video game? Like, we're not just going to go look for that. We're not going to look at random people. We're going to look at specifically targeted reports. And that's what we're going to dive into. Mish in chat says, I just got a Steam Deck and I don't want to mod or add emulators because I'm not that tech savvy. Plus, I tend to stick with the system was specifically designed for, meaning like Nintendo or Nintendo, nothing else, and Steam and Steam and so forth. And I am actually the same way. Pod Culture would probably be very upset to learn that my NES Classic and SNES Classic are exactly the same way that I bought them at. I did not do the very super simple plug the USB cable into your computer and run this program so you can run everything. No, they're exactly the same as what I bought them with. And I'm sure Pod Culture would be like, why? It's so easy. You just plug in a cable and you run this one program and it just does it for you and it's all great. Why would you want to be stuck with the 30 ROMs that are on there when you can have hundreds? You can have 300 ROMs. And it's because I like to keep things the way that they were intended. And because it does that device does what it was intended to do best. It is not as good. It never will be as good to do things it wasn't intended to do. And Pod Culture says you kind of have that with your arcade cab. I'm like, yes, that's why I don't need to do it here. But that arcade cab was also designed with this in mind. I didn't hack anything to do that. My arcade cab that he's talking about, I have like a giant four-player arcade cabinet, but it's running Windows underneath. It's running Windows, it's running, and it's running RetroArch, not RetroArch, but it's running, I can't remember exactly which MAME variation it's running off the top of my head. Once I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it's called because it's on the screen. But I'm not looking at it right now. But that's what it's designed to do. I didn't buy an arcade 1-Up and hack it to be able to play all these other games. So anyway, we're going to take a quick music break. And then we'll talk to Rob, and we'll talk about things that maybe we wanted to talk about last week that I couldn't because I didn't have internet access. But we're going to be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is Obi-Wan Jabroni. When I'm not beating up Jar Jar Binks, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show right here on fognetwork.com. And oh yeah, one more thing, Hogwash.
I actually had that queued up last week for May the 4th. I didn't want to run the risk of screwing up when I didn't have good internet access because I didn't want to reboot my router. So I didn't play it last week. But anyway, thank you so much, Obi-Wan Jabroni, for that very old bumper. I've got some stuff that's gone back that I haven't played in a while. So anyway, if you want to leave a bumper, just contact me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and send me either an MP3 or a video of just you and your voice. I will choose which DMCA violation I will put behind it, and saying that you're coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And there's more content in our chat room. The people were talking about you know, how they do things that would be against the agreement of the Nintendo Switch 2 EULA. There are many, many options that do not involve a Nintendo Switch for that stuff that can do probably anything you want. And like I said, it may require a little bit more know-how, or it may require, you know, a little bit more of a purchase of some hardware. But at least your Nintendo account won't get suspended and you won't lose all your games. So there are tons of options out there that can do what you're looking for. And I'm not going to detail them here on this show. And thankfully, everybody's good. Nobody's providing links, which is actually when we get in trouble. So thank you for not linking to anything. We could just talk about things because guess what? The emulators themselves are legal. It's the actual getting of the commercial content. But if you do want to play Loki's game, Pixel Poops Number 2, which is an NES game that is now free on itch.io over at techmastergames.itch.io, you can get that ROM. And what I've done is I have a device called an EverDrive, which is a Nintendo cartridge, NES cartridge, that has an SD card slot in it. And I put his game on that SD card. I put that SD card in the cartridge. I put the cartridge in my Nintendo. I selected it, and I played Pixel Poops Number 2 on my actual NES with an actual CRT TV, just like everyone intended. And that is absolutely the only thing I have ever done on any of the three EverDrives that I have for the NES, SNES, and N64. It's the only game I've played. Coming up next, here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We wanted to talk to them last week. It didn't work out, but I think everything's going to work out this week. It's a much, much better week. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. Tonight went so much smoother than when I got back from vacation. But there was a lot more stuff to talk about last week. It seems like it was like really slow news week. Like even I spy on OLR's thread and there's like nothing in it.
It's pretty well. We don't have Loki with us tonight, and he always brings a bunch of stories too. But no, it is. You're right. I tried to do some extra research today, and you're right. It did seem to be a slower news week outside of, you know, some pretty big things that were announced at Penny Arcade Expo. Mm-hmm. I think you hit on a couple of the big ones. But yeah, there was the stuff going on there.
Yeah, I know, like what the Final Fantasy Magic the Gathering thing. I think that was
World of Warcraft, and Blizzard made a pretty big announcement that they're going to remix the Legend expansion, Legion expansion, which they kind of did this with Pandaria before they went into their latest expansion, and they did like a limited time mode, which I think kind of breathed a little extra life into the expansion cycle, gave people a reason to log in right before the newest expansion, The War Within, came out. So it seems that they're going to do something similar with the Legion expansion, which was pretty popular. It was the one that brought the Demon Hunter. I mean, it's no Wrath of the Lich King, but I'm assuming Blizzard is saving that for that's the card of all cards to play at some point. We'll see what happens with that, but they're gonna do like a Legion remix. So the remix is you're playing that old content, but you're playing it with your new characters. And there's special cosmetics and things that you earn very quickly. It's pretty cool. It's like a way to for people that didn't really play the game during that expansion, which I didn't play a lot. It's a really good way for you to catch up on a lot of the cosmetics like that only our hardcore raiders could have got during that expansion, or only, you know, it lets you kind of catch up with that. So that'll be a cute thing, too. And that was something we got at a Penny Arcade Expo. With the call last week, you probably would have just missed me talking about Super Nintendo World as I'm pointing at my hat that I bought while I was there at Universe, because I was less than 24. It was like less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
prior, I was actually at Nintendo World in Hollywood and then sped home for the show on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, kind of like I was, you know, like 36 hours mm-hmm. before I was on the air. I was in a mm-hmm. boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
So, yeah, you talked a little bit about that. So I guess the question that I have about Super Nintendo World. So you went to Super Nintendo World at Universal Los in Hollywood. In yes. Los Angeles. So not the Orlando one.
Yeah, it's been open a few years. Yeah. I just finally got around to right. it. Yeah.
But there's a difference between the Orlando and the Hollywood park. That's kind of what it is. So
Orlando's in a new theme park and has the Donkey Kong experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're building some other Epic Universe lands and things. We've been starting to see commercials about it here. Trying to get those of us to come that are, you know, within an 8-hour drive to come down and see it. So right. I have to ask, because you know, so you did ride the Mario Kart ride?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, I am a, let's say, wide person. How, and I know that in Tokyo, they, when they made their ride vehicle, they opted to handle smaller people and kind of were like, if you weigh more than this, you can't ride this ride because you won't fit in our seats. Is the ride vehicle, does it seem a little bit bigger?
I forgot about that whole controversy. I mean, none of us had trouble fitting in it. Mm-hmm. Alan fit in it. I mean, he's tall, not wide, but he had no problem with it. That's a really good question I didn't think about. But I got the feeling it's not much difference from a Midway Mania vehicle, except for the fact that instead of like a bench, it's like two sort of separated seats.
Yeah.
And that might be, but I feel like there's still like a lot of room to spill over, shall we say.
Okay.
There's a bar that you pull down, but, you know, again, because you're pulling the bar down and it's not forced down, that leaves a bit of room if you need to, you know, have some fluffy things to put under the bar.
Yeah. Because that's kind of my thing. It's like I didn't want to fly because I know Hollywood one has been open for a couple of years. I didn't want to fly all the way out there only to learn that I am not allowed to be in the seats. And I am not the biggest.
I forgot about that whole controversy. And somebody must have taken a picture of the vehicles or like a 4K you know, experience that can get you a better sense of it. Yeah. I don't think they've like replaced the cars or anything, but I didn't get the sense that somebody heavier. I didn't see anybody get kicked out of line for being fluffy. Right. So
and because a lot of people only see me from this up, I am not the biggest person you've ever seen, but I'm also not a smaller person, like, you know, but Disney actually takes that into account, and they have like the Tron ride here in Orlando has the executive seats in the back is what I call them, where they're actually like seats that like me and my wife very comfortably sat next to each other in those seats. We weren't on the actual light cycles, so we didn't have to get into that position, but they give that option. And I know Universal is in Tokyo. They were like, well, we either could make it safe for children or we could make it safe for larger people. And this is Nintendo. So we couldn't do both. Whereas Disney figured out how to do both. Universal decided to say, we'd rather have this be a kid first experience. And so larger people just won't get to partake. And that was that was Universal Tokyo saying that, not necessarily Universal Hollywood. Because I know in Tokyo, I wouldn't be able to fit and they would kick me off.
So. Yeah, I wish I'd remembered that whole controversy, but obviously you can imagine in the moment I was very much like, ooh, ah, pretty, yay. Yeah. I need all the Instagram pictures I can take right now. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I play board games on a ship, so, you know.
Hey, that sounds like a great time, too. Yeah. I'm not, can't argue with that.
Yeah, and they are going to start sailing out of L.A., that Virgin Cruise line.
So. Y'all are tempted.
In a couple years, like, you know, take some time, you know. Yeah. Other than the stuff from PAX East, what are you going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we can talk about some things that are leaking around the internet yet again, and it has to do with Xbox and what their plans are for their potential upcoming handheld. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about pretty exciting news in the industry with another big video game development team making the call to unionize. Ooh. It's spreading more and more throughout the industry. Yeah. So we'll talk about all that and plenty more up next on the show.
Orange Lounge Radio is coming up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. If there was a news story I missed that fell through the cracks, pick it up and show it to me. But I didn't see all that much going on this week. I also had kind of a busy week. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. And really, it's amazing that you've been here and supporting for so long. You can also find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. That's where I sometimes post throughout the week, and also post some musings about the current news and stuff. That's where I first talked about the Kung Fury stuff that I opened the show with. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. We do not have a Patreon. We do not have a Ko-Fi. We do not have anything hidden behind any kind of paywall here, but thank you so much to PodCulture for resubscribing and Dark Tetsuya for resubscribing, saying, happy 52 months. Just hope I don't run into the Cheetah Men. Also, 37-month streak in a row because of Twitch math. Thank you so much for that. And Dark Sakura just resubscribed right now. Thank you so much for that. I am going to hit the button and get out of here so we can continue the fun with OLR. If you came from PAX East, I hope you had an amazing time. And I will see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.